Tonight, I just have one main point. And before you go rejoicing and raising your hands and say, okay, man, we're going to get out of here by 6:45, I have a lot of examples of that one point. And so I promise to get you out pretty close to the normal time we get out, right around 7 o'clock. But I just want to share one principle with you tonight. You know, sometimes when we read stories in the Old Testament, we get so excited about the story. We get so excited about what God is doing for his people that we forget that through the stories of the Old Testament, he's trying to teach us about life. And he's trying to teach us about the principles of life. And if we don't pay attention to how God is dealing with his people and understand that he deals with us the same way, we miss some truths that he wants us to build our life on. And so tonight, I have a simple truth, and it comes from verse 30, where the Bible says, "By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land." God was about to give the land of Canaan to his people, the land that he'd promised Abraham, the land that he'd promised Isaac, the land that he promised to Jacob. And you remember that his people were in Egypt, and he called Moses to go down to Egypt to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go. And I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to lead them to a land that I have prepared for them." And I think it's wonderful that he puts the land of Canaan, the promised land, in the Old Testament, and he reminds the people over and over that it's a land that he's prepared for them to remind us about heaven. Sometimes we forget that heaven is a customized place for us. Yeah, it's going to be a wonderful place and everybody's going to enjoy it, but God is preparing it just for you. Jesus said in John chapter 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." And I don't think he was just talking about the collective you. I think he was talking about but more importantly, I think he was talking about the individual you. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place to you as an individual because it's prepared by Christ for you as an individual. And so he's leading the people to the land of promise, and they're on their way. And I don't know if the song probably wasn't written yet, but if we were part of that group and we knew the songs that we sang today, we would sing that song by Jordan, "Stormy Banks I Stand and Cast a Wishful Eye to Canaan's Fair and Happy Land, where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land." They stopped by Sinai. They got the law. They got the instructions that God wanted them to have for the tabernacle and for life, how to deal with one another. And now he's talking to them about taking them to that promised land. And he says, "Now listen, when you get there, I'm not going to give it to you all at once because you're not big enough to handle it yet. You still need to grow. You still need to understand how I work. And if I drive out the people all at once and try to give it to you all at once, the land's going to get desolate. I mean, the wild beasts are going to, you know, multiply and fill the land, and you won't be able to take care of it, and so weeds will grow. And so I'm not going to give it to you all at once." But he says in verse 30, "I'm going to give it to you little by little. I'm going to give it to you a little bit at a time. I'm going to give you an opportunity to increase in number. I'm going to give you an opportunity to increase in strength. I'm going to give you an opportunity to increase in your understanding of me and how I work. And when you can handle it, when you get bigger, when you get stronger, when you can handle more, I'll give you more. And when you can handle more, I'll give you more." Now, you see, most of mankind try to live their life in direct opposition to that principle. We don't want it a little bit at a time. We want it all at once. We live in an age of instant gratification. We live in an age when little children don't want to be little children. They want to grow up fast and be teenagers. And teenagers don't want to be teenagers. They want to grow up fast and be adults. And even adults, you know, they're looking forward to retirement, and they want their life to pass quickly so they can get to that point where they can quit working and retire. And it's in direct opposition to what God, how he wants us to live our life. I mean, I think fast food places are of the devil. Not really. I was just seeing if anybody was listening. But again, they feed that appetite of wanting everything now. We don't want to wait. We want everything now. And I'm the worst of the worst. I've told you before. When I go to McDonald's and they say, "Can you pull up, please?" I say, "No, I can't. I'm going to sit right here until you either give me my money back or give me my food." I came to a fast food place. If I wanted to wait, I would have went to a sit-down restaurant. I want my food. Not a very good testimony, but I try to be kind as I say it. But it just feeds that desire that we have to want everything now. God did not intend for us to live that way. He gives us things little by little. And so tonight, I just want to give you some examples. That's my point. Don't try to live your life all at once. Don't want everything now. The principle from God is that he gives us a little bit at a time. And we need to, and by the way, it's just like the Israelites. He said, "When you get bigger, I'll give you more. When you can handle it, I'll give you more." One of the reasons he doesn't give us everything right now is he knows we can't handle it all right now. You know, you've heard the same stories that I have about these people that, you know, gamble and buy a lottery ticket and they win all this money. Well, they can't handle it. I mean, the only person that I've read about that has handled it seemingly okay is the guy, he was a janitor somewhere, and he didn't quit his job. He still gets up at 6 o'clock every morning, goes to work. The money didn't change his life. I mean, the rest of the stories you read, they've wasted it, and it's destroyed their life because they couldn't handle it. And so God says, when you get bigger and when you can handle it, I'll give you more. But don't try to live your life in such a way to want it all now because you can't handle it. So let me give you some examples. And some of these are just practical examples about life, and some of them are spiritual examples. All right? So, for example, we don't lose weight all at once. Amen? Right, Nick? Amen? You know, I've seen these diets advertised, and you have too. Lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks. Or lose 40 pounds by Labor Day. Okay? And they offer you, you know, this diet, and sometimes you have to drink something or eat something. And they say you can lose a tremendous amount of weight in a short time. Now, what they don't tell you is that when you get to that short time and go back to what you were doing before you started, you're going to gain it all back almost immediately. You see, losing weight, and I've learned this from Chantel, you do it a little bit at a time. You do it a little bit every day. I mean, the way you lose weight is you burn more calories than you eat. There you got one of two options. You can eat less calories or you can do more exercise. It doesn't matter. You can take your pick. But little by little, and it lasts. It's not, you know, I thought when I you know, a few weeks ago, I got sick. And I think I was dehydrated. And I was so proud of myself. I called Chantel on the phone. You know, she's lost all this weight. And I called her on the phone. I says, "I've lost 12 pounds. And she said, "What'd you do?" I said, "I didn't do nothing except not eat and get rid of a lot of stuff." And she was right. It's all come back. Plus, they brought some of their friends. You know, there's that verse in the Bible. You clean out the house, you get rid of all the devils, and if you don't put something back in there, they come back and bring their friends with them. Same thing happened to me with pounds. So we don't lose weight all at once. We lose it a little bit at a time. Second example, we don't fall in love all at once. It happens a little bit at a time. Now see, teenagers, they don't understand this. They meet somebody and they fall in love and they say, ooh, oh. And they, you know, they meet somebody and they think, this is the girl. This is the guy. And they're so convinced that God has given them the love of their life right now that they never, in some cases, give love a chance to grow. And they get into situations and they do things that they shouldn't do. And they get into trouble because they want it all right now. I will tell you, you don't fall in love all at once. You fall in love a little bit at a time. And that's why moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas, you need to keep your eyes on your kids, on your teens, and help them understand this principle. Help them keep out of situations where, you know, they think they're so much in love and this is the one that they mess up their lives. It happens a little bit at a time. A little by little. I mean, love needs to be tested. Love needs to be tried. And if you talk to Bill and Ruth Ann, they're celebrating their 50th year together on Saturday. Now, I'm sure they'll tell you that they were in love when they got married 50 years ago. But I'm also sure that they'll tell you that they love each other a whole lot more today than they did 50 years ago. Because their love has grown little by little. That's the way God intended it to happen. Here's a third example. We don't build a home all at once. Many young people, when they get married, they want everything that mom and dad has. I mean, they want a refrigerator, they want a freezer, they want a washer, they want a dryer, they want a new couch, they want a new bedroom outfit, they want everything that they see that mom and dad has. And they forget that mom and dad have been married 30 to 40 years, and mom and dad have been saving their money for 30 or 40 years. Well, they don't understand that. They don't want to do it that way. And so they take out these plastic things. And they get whatever they want, plus they get a whole lot of debt. And they mess up their financial rating, and they mess up their life by trying to get everything at once. Look, you know, when you first get married, and I know many people in this room, when you first got married, you didn't get everything new. I mean, you didn't get. I mean, you. If you did, you're still paying the price for it, probably. But you didn't get everything new. You bought things secondhand. You saved your money, and you bought things as you were able to afford it. You don't build a home all at once. You build it a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. Here's another example. We don't raise our children all at once. I mean, we don't get a little baby that's born and then, you know, a few months later, that little baby knows everything that they need to know. They act in a way that, you know, that we expect them to act when they're 20, 25 years old. Many, many parents get discouraged at child rearing. They think they must not be doing something right because sometimes their kids do things that children do. And when they come and talk to me, I always tell them this. I said, now look, if you're discouraged about your child rearing, here's what I want you to do. About 9 or 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, I want you to go to the busiest Myers or the busiest Walmart you know. Find the busiest one that you can find on Saturday morning. Go to the grocery part of the store and just walk down the aisles. Have you done this recently on a Saturday morning? Busiest Myers, busiest Walmart, you know, and just walk down the grocery aisles. And you'll see all sorts of moms and dads with their little darling in the basket. And you'll hear things like this. If I have to tell you one more time, you're getting it. Keep your hands to yourself. Don't put that in the basket. You just wait till we get home, mister. You're going to get it. They're not talking to teenagers. They're talking to little 2 and 3 years old. And so if now you laugh and say, oh, no, that still doesn't happen. Hey, I was in Myers yesterday morning, 10 o'clock. I'm not making this up. That's what I heard. And I said, man, I'm glad my kids are grown. You know, when Aaron and I go to the grocery store, I put him in one of those carts that has the car, and he's busy steering, so he don't have time to put stuff in the cart. But look, God didn't intend for you to have a child, and a few months later, they be perfect, and they know everything they're going to know. That's not the way it works. I mean, you build into them their character. You build into them truth. You build into them the things they need to know a little bit at a time, little by little. Don't get discouraged because you can't have it all at once. It doesn't work that way. God didn't intend for it to work that way. He intended for it to work little by little. Another example. We don't make a friend all at once. We meet somebody. We have some common interest. We do some things together. And a friendship and a bond starts to form. But don't expect that your friendship will be everything that it should be or everything that it could be or everything that it will be after just a couple weeks or after just a couple of things that you do together. A friendship has to grow. I've known people that have met other people and they start out to be pretty good friends and then something happens and one of them says something that maybe they shouldn't say or one of them does something that they shouldn't do and the friendship is dissolved. And I talk to people and I say, now look, you don't become best buds, you don't become best friends after just a couple of weeks. Friendship has to grow through time. Friendship has to develop. You have to go through some trials. You have to go through some heartaches. That's how God builds friendships. I mean, again, he doesn't just pour it all out at once because he knows we can't handle it. We need to grow into it. And so friendships take time. They happen little by little. Now, I'm sort of in the middle of my message, so I'm going to take a little detour and tell you, don't look at the clock, Brother Steve. I know what time it is. He's calculating. Oh, yeah, halfway through, we got 15 minutes. He might make it tonight. But here, I'm going to take a detour and tell you this. There is one thing that happens all at once. There is one thing that does not happen little by little. When we get saved all at once. It's not a process. It's not something that we have to grow into. It's not something that develops over time. Salvation is an instantaneous transaction that God does for us. The moment we realize that we are a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin and that penalty is separation from God, and the moment we realize that there's nothing in ourselves or about us that we can do to change that, there's no works that we can do, there's no organization that we can join, there's no amount of money that we can pay to make us right with God, the moment we realize that we're a sinner separated from God and the only hope that we have is in the person of Jesus Christ. And we come to him and we ask him to save us. Instantaneously, we are born again. Instantaneously, we are saved from the penalty of sin. Instantaneously, God writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if we were to die moments after we asked Jesus to save us, we would go to heaven. And so salvation doesn't happen little by little. It happens all at once. It happens again that moment that we ask Jesus to save us. And if you're here tonight and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, you need to do it tonight. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today's the day of salvation. If you're going to be saved, you need to be saved today. Today. I picked Heather and Rochelle and the girls up this morning. And as we were driving to church, Heather reminded me about her brother, Joe. Joe was in prison for a while. And the week he got out of prison, he came to church. And she reminded me this morning, she said, "Preacher, I remember that you preached that Sunday on salvation. And you made the statement that if you were here and you need to get saved, if you're not saved, you need to get saved today because you never know what's going to happen. You never know how much longer you have to live." And she said, "You know, my brother died the Thursday after that service." And she says, "I've never forgotten that." And tonight, we need to remember that. We don't know how much time we have left. Only God knows the day of our death. As I said this morning, one out of one of us are going to die. We all have an appointment with death, and after that, the judgment. We need to be ready. And the only way we can get ready is to ask Jesus to save us. And he'll save us immediately. He won't make us go through some obstacle course. He won't make us prove ourselves. There's nothing like that associated with salvation. I think you ought to get baptized after you get saved, but that's not part of it. I think you ought to come to church after you get saved, but that's not part of it. I think you ought to do all the things that the Bible talks about after you get saved, but that's not part of being salvation. God wants us to come just like we are, and he'll take us just like we are. I started to say is, but just like we are, just like we is, he'll take us and he'll save us and he'll make us part of his family. And if you're here tonight and you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, you need to understand that you're a sinner. You are a sinner, and there's a penalty for that sin, and Jesus paid the price for you. And if you'll ask him tonight, he'll save you. So salvation doesn't happen little by little, but you build a Christian life little by little. I mean, when we get saved, we still have that old nature. We may still have some bad habits. We may still have some scars that sin has left in our life. There's going to be times in our Christian life where we're going to fail, and we're going to fall, and we're going to get discouraged. And Satan comes to us in those times, and he'll just sort of, laugh a little bit and say, "I knew you couldn't make it. I knew you couldn't be what God wants you to be. Look at how you've messed up. I mean, you've been saved 3 weeks, and look at the different things that you've done just like you used to do before you got saved." Listen, God doesn't expect us one moment to get saved and then the next moment to be a mature Christian. To be perfect, as mature as the Bible talks about it. God knows that we need some time to grow. God knows that we need some time with the Holy Spirit's help to get rid of some of those bad habits, to get rid of some of those bad ways that we think. He knows that just like a little child needs to grow, so do we as Christians. I mean, we don't expect the little ones back in the toddler nursery to do everything that a teenager does. Praise God, they don't. But you know what I'm talking about. We don't expect teenagers to do everything an adult does. I mean, we give them an opportunity to mature. We give them an opportunity to grow. We should extend the same courtesy and extend the same knowledge to new Christians. They need time to grow. They need time to learn. They need time to understand what it is to be a Christian. So a Christian life is not built all at once. Another example, we don't find God's will for our life all at once. I mean, when we get saved, God doesn't take us, the next hour or the next day and set us down and say, "Okay, here's the rest of your life. Here's what's going to happen the rest of your life. Here's what I want you to do, and here's the opportunities that I'm going to give you to serve me, and here's all the trials that I'm going to put you through to prepare you to do all that." He doesn't do that. And I'm glad he doesn't, because most of us couldn't take it. I mean, if you would have told some people in this room, 15 years ago, everything they were going to have to do in the next 15 years, some of them would have said, "Just take a gun and shoot me because I can't do that." And they couldn't 15 years ago. God had to get them ready a little bit at a time. Just like he did the Israelites. He said, "Look, I've prepared this whole land for you, but you're not big enough to take it all now. I'm just going to give you a little bit." And when you get bigger and stronger, I'll give you a little bit more. And when you get bigger and stronger, I'll give you a little bit more. And when you get bigger and stronger, I'll give you a little bit more. That's how he works his will in our life. He doesn't show it to us all at once. I've told you before about the, you know, the miner that has that hard hat on and has a light on the top of his hat, and he's down in a mine, and that's the only source of light that there is. He can't see to the end of the tunnel. He can only see a couple feet in front of him. And what he needs to do, what he does, is take those couple feet, take those couple of steps, and then he can see a couple more steps, and he takes those two steps, and then he can see a couple more steps in front of him. He takes those steps, and so on and so forth. That's how God reveals his will to us. He doesn't let us see the end of the tunnel. He lets us see the next two steps, and he won't show us anymore until we take those next two steps. A little bit at a time. That's how we find God's will for our life. Another example. We don't return from backsliding all at once. We come back a little bit at a time. You know, Christians sometimes fall away. And they get into situations that mess up their testimony. The Holy Spirit all the time is dealing with them about getting back and about coming back. And one day the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them and they say, like the prodigal son, man, I'm living in the pig pen. Even the servants in my father's house has it better. I'm going to go back and tell my dad I'm not worthy to be a son anymore. I just want to be a servant in his house. And so they come back to God. But sometimes they don't come back all at once. Sometimes they just take a step, and then another step, and then another step. And it's amazing to me that we in the Christian community sometimes are so harsh on other Christians that are trying to come back that they finally rise up and say, I don't want to come back. I don't want to come back. Look, when somebody falls away and they're trying to make their way back, there's going to be steps forward and steps backwards. We need to be patient. We need to be kind. We need to be an encouragement. We need to help them get back all the way, but we need to realize they don't do it in one step. They do it little by little. Two more examples. We don't build a church all at once. You don't put up a sign, get a preacher, get a song leader, get a piano player, and expect to have 300 the next week. Doesn't work that way. You get, a church is built a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. God says, and again, he says to churches like he said to the Israelites, you couldn't handle 300 people all at once. You can't. Pastor can't. Church can't. As a church grows into it, because the pastor and the deacons and the church itself needs to understand what's involved in ministering to people. You just can't one night have 300 people in church and know how to minister to them. You learn how to minister to them a little bit at a time. And so there have been churches that have sprout up and they have had rapid growth. And then they disappear because they haven't learned a little bit at a time how to do it. Church is built a little bit at a time. And then my last example is our understanding of heaven doesn't come all at once. Our understanding of heaven won't come all at once even after we get there. Said, oh, preacher, I thought when we got to heaven that God was going to take away that glass that we look through dimly and that we were going to understand everything. Maybe, but I don't think so. It goes against the principles that are in this book. I think he's going to give it to us a little bit at a time. He's going to start where we are. Because every one of us is a different place in our understanding of heaven. And he'll start where we are, and he'll give us a little bit at a time. He'll teach us more about himself. He'll teach us more about heaven. Of course, there's no time in heaven, so it may seem to us like it happens all at once. But he's going to give it to us a little bit at a time. As we understand it, he'll give us a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Little by little. That's the way we need to live our life, live our Christian life. And so just look back to this morning with me. So the choir, the junior choir came out. I knew what I was going to preach today. Nobody else knew what I was going to preach today until yesterday or Friday night late when I sent Adam the bulletin information. I send him the bulletin information on Friday or Saturday, and he puts the bulletin together. But nobody, other than God, knows what I'm going to preach about until then. And so Angie and Chantel and the juniors come out, and they start singing that song. Little by little, inch by inch, by the yard it's hard, by the inch it's a cinch. Don't stare up the stairs, step up the steps. Little by little, inch by inch. And I was so excited. You know, when something like that happens, I just want to shout and say, thank you, Jesus. You let me know that what I thought you wanted me to preach is exactly what you want me to preach. And so this morning, learn from the four little things that are in Proverbs. Tonight, little by little. And again, it's a principle. I don't care how old we are. I don't care what our situation is in life. That's how God gives us things. Little by little. Except for salvation. He gives us that all at once. And I'm so glad he does. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the principles that you give us in this book to live by. And I pray tonight that we could grab a hold of this one, and regardless of where we are in our life, regardless of what station we are in our life, that we would realize that that's how you work, a little bit at a time, step at a time. And I pray, Father, you would teach us patience, and you would help us as we grow and help us as we walk in our Christian life. And Father, help us to understand as we get stronger and as we understand your will more and more, then you'll give us more and more. Father, I pray tonight, if there's just one person here that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, Father, help them to understand that they can get it all at once. They can get everything that you offer in Christ Jesus, as far as salvation goes, right now, if they'd simply receive that gift of eternal life that Christ offers to every person. Man, woman, boy, girl, doesn't matter. I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that's not saved, tonight would be the night they ask Jesus to save them. Bless this time of invitation. Use it, Father, to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.